Welcome to episode 31 of the Second Shift podcast here on the DSJMP network. Just before we start today's show, just going to give a warning that this is a bit of a WrestleCast episode. I couldn't find any Europeans or new blood for the show this week, so I had to rope in the B team to do the show. So this is a bit of a plea to you guys. If you want to come on or contribute for the show, please do so by letting me know on at Second Shift Pod, and the email is secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Please, we need new blood, new hosts. I look forward to hearing from you. Now let's get on with the show.
And all that, and people constantly tweet to me all the time, you know, you can't change it from your couch in Chicago. And I absolutely disagree, because that's exactly what I did. It almost took me sitting on my couch to, and I'm not changed the place permanently. No. I'm talking like when I split in January.
Okay.
They changed everything. And part of me thinks they changed a lot of stuff to spite me. And that's fine, because certain people who deserved certain things at that certain time got those things. And that's something that I never got. And it was nice to see that, you know. But I don't want to sound, you know, like an old timer, like, oh, I paved the way for these guys. That's not what this is about. It's more about just kind of telling my story and how it unfolded and what happened.
Hello and welcome to this week's Second Shift podcast, episode 31. I think I am your host, Wayne as a Baker. Just want to start this week's show by saying an apology to a certain cataclysmic. About 5 to 10 weeks ago, I might have shat on you a bit and saying that Prince Devitt was overrated and he's just a cheap man, Seth Rollins, and I'm going to totally backtrack. His performances on NXT have just been brilliant. I'm turning into a mark for the bloke. Finn is just, everything about him, his entrances, his music, finisher, double foot stomp, it's just, I'm turning into a bit of a mark. So I'm holding my hands up, I'm backtracking. Sorry, Kat. Now, moving on with the show, I'm going to introduce our first guest. First up, we've got Devil Vamp. How are you doing?
I got a beer in my hand, and I just want to say that the Commonwealth let you down.
In what way?
This is an all-American cast right here, buddy. And your Commonwealth all backed out on your recording. That's all I got to say.
Too true. But this is a true Second Shift show. So next up, we've got Katie. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back.
You don't sound like it.
I'm happy to be back. Yay. Better?
That was so AJ. I was going to say. I was like, yay. He just told you to go fuck yourself.
There we go. And also we've got DRG. How are you?
I am whooping some ass.
How is Lego Marvel, sorry?
I'm enjoying it, man. I actually got this for the kids, and I started playing it the other day, and I am hooked.
And the kids didn't even have a chance to play it yet, ever, because the big kid is using it.
No, they've been playing. I just, since they're at school right now, I figured that I would take the opportunity to get far on the levels instead of just doing free play to where everybody runs around and collects coins.
Bling, 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 bling.
Exactly.
Talking about running around, we've got Heavy Set. How are you?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God. Sorry, Bam.
Oh.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm just so grateful.
I'm sorry if that was a prayer for you.
Wasn't in the original pledge, I'm just saying.
All I'm going to say is I'm just glad that the signal kept coming, cutting out so we didn't have to put up with all of that. So we'll start now.
I blame West Virginia.
Me too.
Right, we're going to start then with the one email, because unfortunately we know Andy Anderson will send one, but because we're recording a day earlier, I haven't got it yet. Sorry, Andy. So we'll start with Mr. Living Legend himself. And he's got this to say. Hey, Second Shift. Great episode last week, and I'd like to say welcome aboard to Dermid. Good job on your debut. But I'm not here purely to blow smoke up your ears. I have some questions for you. There has been much talk and anticipation for TNA's move to Destination America. Meanwhile, we're nearing the end of British Boot Camp, and we know that TNA will be over here for the next tour in the early part of the new year. Of the three remaining boot camp contestants, Kaylee Ray, Rampage, and Mark Andrews, who do you think will win? Grado has a match lined up against El Snow at Glasgow's Hydro. Do we see him getting a contract down the line? Lastly, what would you like to see on TNA's debut show for Destination America? On that note, have another great show. The Living Legend has now left the building. So we'll go around the first one. I haven't seen Boot Camp. I don't know. DRG probably has. DRG, of the three remaining Boot Camp contestants, who do you think will win?
Who do I think will win, or who do I want to win?
Go for both.
I want Kaylee Ray to win because I think she's the most needed in that division, like the division that they could be playing him in. Rampage is awesome for his size. He's got a unique look to him. But if you noticed when Joe was saying, I think it was to Dave Mastiff, don't worry, we'll see you again down the road. I think that there's going to be more than just one contract that happens. Kaylee Ray would be my choice if I went with one of them, but I also think that they're going to end up going with Rampage. That's who I think is going to end up being the pick for it, because I just don't see Mark Andrews being the big winner.
So what sort of wrestler is Rampage then?
Rampage is what you'd call a heavyweight, not necessarily a super heavyweight, but I'm trying to think of who would be a good person to compare him to. Like Bad News Brown is kind of the body type, only a lot leaner and same.
Didn't Rampage win the online gut check that I had last year?
Yes.
The year before, whenever that was?
So yeah, it was Rampage Brown.
Didn't he technically have a contract?
No, because nothing ever came about from that. Oh, no. It was Bad Bones Klinger that won it. Rampage came in second. And then,
okay.
Yeah. Klinger was there for like one whole episode where Sam Shaw attacked Mr. Anderson in the background while they were interviewing him. He had a match with Samoa Joe that was really good, but they just never did anything with him. He reminded me of like a German's version of Arn Anderson, and they just never tapped into it. I don't understand. Rampage, though, he's been spoken highly of from people like Joe and Al Snow and everybody that's seen him. He fits in the heavyweight division. The guy can wrestle. His promo skills aren't the worst, but by all means, they're not the best. Personally, if it was up to me, Dave Mastiff is the one that impressed the most out of the whole contest. And Noam Dar is who I would also go with for the simple fact that he's so young and you can build the X division around him because he can wrestle so many styles, kind of like what Doug Williams was, only he has more high flyer capabilities.
So what has British Boot Camp 2 lived up to your expectation?
The first bit when I started watching it, no, it let down from what it was last year. Because last year it was just the four people. They made them look like these big stars. And from there, they kind of just built them up as they needed. With this episode, or with this year, it was more of that reality TV shtick that they all do. And it kind of bothered me until they started getting to these matches. Once they got to the matches, it became one of those, holy crap, this is actually pretty good. but it took a while to get there.
So, moving on to the second question. Grado has a match apparently with El Snow at the Glasgow taping. Will he be getting a contract with the company, do you think?
Yes. I think that's the whole reason why they built the entire show around Grado, and that sucks because it made it not look like a contest. It made it look like, hey, this is the guy that we're going to go with, and whether you like it or not, this is who it's going to be. And
he's like a fat comedy character, isn't he? Well, not comedy, but like more lighthearted than if you wanted like a serious competitor.
Well, no, I think comedy is probably the best way to put it because that's exactly what it is. His style is straight comedy, but he has an immense following in Scotland and in the UK. So it makes sense if they're going to do it for going over to the UK tour to have somebody like him on the show. But I just don't think that he's somebody that will translate into the US market because it's so hard to understand him.
Mm. There's no one else in here got any more comments to say on TNA Boot Camp, have you?
No.
I like Mark. Even though I haven't been watching, I've still seen two of these three live. I would like to see Kaylee Ray in there because I've always liked to see the women's wrestling get boosted up a little bit, and that's someone who really deserve it. But I think Mark Andrews could do really well in the ring. He impressed me the few times I've got to see him, and he could go really great in the X Division. A little young, maybe a little small, but I don't know. I just think it could be a good new look for the X Division.
So I just think that they had the smaller type last year with Spud. I think they're going to have to go for the all-out heavyweight this year, but that'd just be my way of looking at it. Like I say, I've not seen it, so I can't really comment. So going on to the last question, we'll go around the whole group for this one. What would you like to see TNA's new product like when they debut on Destination America? What changes would you like to see to the TNA brand? And we'll start with one of the quieter two. We'll go with Katie.
Well, I am going to watch it when it debuts in January because I do have the channel, luckily. I guess they're going to have new talent, I suppose. So I guess more great matches, like better talent, better show-wise. I mean, I really can't comment. I don't watch that much. I'll just go by agreeing with everything DRG said.
Give him the deep head. Don't do it.
But I will watch it in January, I guess, like when we come back on in January and I'll watch it. I'll let you know what my opinion is then and to see if it actually I'll watch it on a regular basis.
Going over to the TNA hater then. Devil, what changes would you like to see to the TNA product when it comes back?
I'm not a TNA hater, first of all. I just want to get that up there. No, I'm not. I'm not a TNA hater. And I remember the first things I said to you in GroupMe about TNA was, I can't believe people were already shitting on the deal. They just got the deal. I hope they reset and restart. Is that not what I said to you?
No, not. You didn't say anything like that.
I did. I did because I do. I hope it's a nice, fresh start. I hope they get money pumped into them. I hope they can. I like a stage. I like a stage. Even if it's just like the WCW, like little stage, I like a stage. I like an archway they can walk through so that I know where they're coming from. That's the one thing I want them to add.
They're going back for the first set of tapings to New York again, aren't they? So the ballroom, so you're not going to get your stage for the first set.
They could add a small one. I'm just saying, I would like to see them go a completely different route, is what I'm saying. I do still enjoy the smaller venues I think they're in right now because going to bigger venues right now would not be beneficial for them. I would say stick with the smaller venues, staying with their, but the recording time, like I heard you guys talk about, either unless WrestleCast or the second shift, the recording is all out of whack, and it makes some of the matches really slow because of the crowd has been there for 3 hours and has seen four different storylines go down and not knowing where things are at. I think they could redo that, and that would be a lot better. But just getting some money behind them and getting some money into them would be nice. I don't want to see Alberto Del Rio on there. I just don't. My opinion. I just don't. I've never liked the guy, and I don't want to see him on there. I don't want to see any former WWE star on there. Really, I don't. I like TNA for the fact that I don't know a lot of their talent, and I'm really impressed by a lot of their talent already. I don't need it. They just need to put money behind the talent they already have, and I think they'll be fine.
That's interesting. Going over to DRG then. What changes would you like to see, and would you like to see Alberto Del Rio in TNA?
I actually wrote about this in my last article, is that they've done enough attempted reboots. They've tried rebooting every which way possible, but on a lower scale. Now it's time to go big and do a big reboot. And one of the main things that I would like to see is a change in color scheme. I pitched the idea of green. I know it's been said before, and yeah, GFW could be coming out with the green, but I know Dan actually made a comment on Twitter about how he doesn't want to see green. He wants to see a purple or something to that nature. And I'm not against that. I think purple could actually be very good, but he wanted purple and red. Whereas I pitched purple and orange. And I actually think that that would work because I think those two colors go well together, but it all depends. Yes. I wouldn't mind having Alberto Del Rio come in there. If you want to know my thoughts on it, read my article on Talk TNA, because I actually pitched a storyline for how to get Kurt out of power and to buy EC3, put him into the general manager role while he's injured so he stays relevant, and also get Del Rio as well as Drew Galloway onto Impact's product and start them off in a way that's going to hook viewers and make them want to see the next episode. So, but yeah, if you're asking me if I want Del Rio on there, I wouldn't mind. I don't think that he's one of those names that people are going to say, oh, that's the next WWE star. It just all depends on how they book him.
There we go. Right, so we'll leave it there for that email. And just thank Living Legend for that. If you'd like to send an email, please send it to secondshiftpod@gmail.com and tweet us. Our Twitter is @secondshiftpod.
We're sorry for everybody that didn't get a chance to send one in because we recorded early this week.
Yeah.
Blame Wayne.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had to move it forward a day. So if you have sent one in, I apologize. And if it's still relevant, we'll read it out next week.
There you go.
Moving on now, we've got a couple of quizzes. So we've got Killer and we've got Who Am I? And if we get anyone other than Katie win one of the things, we'll have a tie break, just general knowledge round between the two winners. So we'll go with Killer first. The rules of Killer is everyone has three lives. There'll be a topic, and you've got to name things from that topic. And if you get one wrong, or you can't think of one, you'll lose a life. And we'll keep going until there's one remaining person. So the order will be Devil Vamp.
Oh, fuck.
I'm giving you first dibs, man. Why are you moaning?
That's right. Okay, I'm good. Okay. I thought this was Who Am I. I'm like, oh, god damn it.
No, that's next, mate. Then, so it'll be Devil, 2KE, 2DRG, and Heavy Set if he re-enters the call.
He just did.
So, happy days. And Heavy will be up after DRG. So, here we go. And the first question is, name any wrestler that competed on the card for Slammiversary 10 in 2012. There's 23 possible answers. And we'll start with Devil Vamp.
AJ Styles.
Yep.
All right. Shit, I don't know after that.
Katie?
Samoa Joe?
Yep.
Yep. Oh, sorry. DRG?
Samoa Joe took on Austin Aries in an X Division match in which Hulk Hogan.
All right, you're gonna have to get your dick out and show your girth, dear. What's all right?
I was at that pay per view.
Heavy set.
Christopher Daniels.
Yeah.
Good.
Devil Vamp.
Said Austin Aries, Christopher Daniels. I'm gonna say Bubba Ray, or what's his name in TNA? I always forget his name.
Bully.
Thank you. Sorry, Bully Ray.
Yes, you can have that one. Katie.
Kurt Angle.
Yep, he's on here. DRG.
Kazarian, as it was a tag team match of Bad Influence versus Kurt Angle and AJ Styles.
Yes, all right. You've got impressive girth.
No, we completed a match, so I announced what the match was.
Heavy set.
Now trying to remember some TNA wrestlers because I don't watch it anymore. Shit.
Ooh, First Life looks like this.
2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, and I hope he wasn't gone by now, Garrett Bischoff.
Nope, he's on there.
No, he was on there.
Devil Vamp.
2012, Jeff Hardy.
Yep. Katie.
Sting.
Yep. DRG.
Sting faced Bobby Roode in the main event.
Yep. Well, you don't have to keep naming the matches.
But I'm going to. Oh!
You picked the pay-per-view he went to. Yeah, we're screwed.
Good point. We are screwed, but that's fine.
Heavy.
Wes Briscoe.
I can't see him on here.
Nope.
Nope. Heavy's lost the first one to lose the life.
That was before Wes signed via gut check, and it was before Aces and Eights.
There we go. That's official. Devil Vamp.
2012. Jeff Jarrett's got to be on there.
Nope, you've lost a life.
Damn it.
Katie.
Gail Kim.
Yep.
Good call, Katie.
Damn, I didn't think knockouts.
You neither. I didn't think knockouts either.
DRJ.
You said Jeff Hardy already, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Rob Van Dam?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about Rob. Fuck.
Heavy.
Devon.
Yep. Tag team with Garrett Bischoff.
Devil.
I'm gonna have to go for Kenny King.
No.
Yeah, I think it was before King.
Ring of Honor.
That's what I was shooting in the dark. Alright, I got one life left, Wayne.
Yeah, I know that.
One life to live.
Katie?
Ethan Carter III.
Nope.
No. Katie's lost a life.
Trouble.
DRG?
You said, let's go. We've got RVD versus Jeff Hardy versus Mr. Anderson in a 3-way match.
Yeah.
Damn it, I forgot about Mr. Anderson.
Heavy.
ODB.
No.
One life to live.
Who know?
So, Devil Vamp?
Earl Hebner. He was in a match, technically, I guess. He was in the ring.
He was not in the match.
Wrestler that competed.
Didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Who competed on the show?
Earl Hebner with his legs.
No.
Fuck. I got nothing, Wayne. I don't know. I've never even seen it, man. I don't know. I'm surprised it lasted this long, to be honest with you.
Alright, so Devil Vamp's out of this. Katie?
Velvet Sky?
No, you've lost life. DRG?
Gail Kim took on Brooke Tessmacher to win her first TNA title.
Yes, Heavy.
Abyss.
No.
Fuck.
I'll say it, that Joseph Park was there, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on!
No, it was different.
So that's between Katie and DRG. So, Katie, you've got your last life now.
Gee, let me see. I have no clue.
Rob Terry and Robbie E took on Garrett Bischoff and D-Von in a tag title match.
There we go.
Or not a tag title match.
DRG won that one. DRG won that one.
He was fucking fair.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we're gonna do Unforgiven 2008 and everybody who competed. So, we can go.
Can we do the Thanksgiving before Raw? I mean, can we do the Raw before Thanksgiving that I was at, too? Or the WrestleMania that I was at?
We got a good one here. We'll do another one for Killer, as DRG absolutely ruined that one by being it.
I ruined it by dominating? How dare I? How dare
square.
I?
One fair and square.
Yep.
Maybe. What about David Arquette?
Arquette.
We'll do one. There's one I can probably do over two. So we'll start again. So you've all got your lives back. WWE Hall of Fame celebrity inductees. There is six of them.
Oh, okay.
And we'll start with Devil.
Donald Trump.
Yep. Katie.
Mike Tyson.
Yep. DRG.
Drew Carey.
Yep. Heavy.
Fuck you, Pete Rose.
Yep. Devil. There's one left.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper.
No.
She not in it?
Nope.
Cyndi Lauper is the girl who teamed up with Hulk Hogan, right?
She might have been at WrestleMania, but she weren't in the Hall of Fame celebrity inductees.
I was just making sure I got the right girl. Okay. All right.
So, is there anyone else got it?
Mr. T.
Well, that's your turn now anyway, Katie, sir.
Well, I think wasn't one William Refrigerator Perry.
What was that?
William the Refrigerator Perry in 2006.
No, what I've got here is Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker, yeah.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah, he was Major League. He was in
Major League 1 and 2. He also did he was in Mr. Belvedere, and he did a lot of baseball broadcasting, I think, for the Milwaukee Brewers. I know it's over everybody's head in Europe, but hey.
Didn't he commentate on one of the WrestleManias?
Three.
Oh,
he did.
Yeah. And he did the backstage stuff, too. Like, he interviewed Andre, and there's that classic scene of Andre choking him and the look that he gives while being choked.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So we'll move on. So basically, Devil and Katie lost a life each, and we're now going on to wrestlers who entered the Royal Rumble at number 30.
Oh,
so,
shit.
DRG.
entered at 30?
Yep.
Vince McMahon?
Yep. Vince McMahon?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
DRG got that right.
No, I'm just...
That's wrong. He came in number 2 in 1999.
But then
came in number 2.
Didn't he come in as number 30 at one point? No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay, then, yeah, that's my first life then.
I Heavy. Say John Cena.
Yep. Devil.
Fuck.
Nope.
Oh, Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
The fuck.
Katie.
Undertaker.
Yep. DRG.
Wow. Thanks, guys. Who came in number 30th?
Number 30th.
Number 30th. Hold on, I gotta pause my game for this because I gotta seriously think. Rob Van Dam.
No. So you lose another life?
Yep, apparently.
Heavy set?
Okay, are we even talking number 30 for the 40-man Rumble? Or are we talking 40?
No, we're talking 30 40-man Rumble. He said who came in number 30.
I know. But that one doesn't mean the same.
I know, but it still says who came in number 30.
Out of all the other years, Heavy, you had to pick the year that could have been the trouble.
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 Of all the years, too, you can almost just name a wrestler and see if it sticks. I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels.
And you would be... incorrect. You lose a life. Devil Vamp.
Triple H.
You'd be incorrect. You lose a life.
Triple H is the answer for everything, damn it.
The Royal Rumble that he came back, that he returned from his quad tear. Didn't he come in 30?
It was 28.
God damn it, I knew it was close. I didn't know exactly when.
Katie?
I just want to ask one question. Are there any scrub wrestlers on here that you're just like...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The earlier ones are a bit... Nah, but no, later ones are all fairly well known. Big sort of title.
Is China one?
Katie's in the game. Yes, 99. DRG.
Chris Jericho.
You would be incorrect. Yeah, incorrect. You're out of this one. Heavy set?
The Big Show.
Yep.
Damn.
So, Heavy stays with losing one life, so Devil Vamp?
Stone Cold.
Nope, he's not on there. You're out. So, basically, Heavy and Katie are battling out, and they've both got two lives left. So, Katie?
X-Pac?
Yes. So...
Wow, good call.
Heavy set?
Shit.
There's a couple you'll kick yourself for.
Oh, I know. But it's like, okay, like, I might be... I think of a wrestler, but I can remember when they were in certain Rumbles, but not all of them. I'm going to go one out of left field, Bam Bam.
No, you lose a life. Katie?
Macho Man?
Ooh. She's done it again. 93. So, Heavy? To stay in the game.
Ric Flair.
Yes, he does stay in the game. Katie?
What year, 92?
No, Ric Flair is 2005.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, that was luck then.
Yeah.
Mr. Perfect.
Oh, for fuck's sake. 90. Heavy. Stay.
I'm going to kick myself on this one. I remember him being in the room, but I don't remember his number. Greg the Hammer Valentine.
No.
Damn.
Nope. So you're out and Katie wins that one. So basically, what's the best way of doing this? Probably go for a tiebreaker between DRG and Katie.
What are the ones that weren't said?
So a little range of them. Ted DiBiase.
Fuck.
Tugboat. Warlord. Atom Bomb. Crush.
Oh, God.
Vader, Fatu, Rikishi, Booker T, you got Goldberg a handful of times. Goldberg and then Undertaker a handful of times, sorry. You've then got Randy Orton, Wade Barrett, and Ryback. Right.
I don't ever guessed Ryback.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll have a little killer off between DRG and Katie then.
I don't want to die.
Name the 11 men initially suspended by WWE due to the signature pharmacy scandal.
Oh, that's a big good.
That's a great question.
You can thank sir to Living Legend for that, for doing the questions.
Hey, Legend, well, we got something, I hate right. you. Legend, I hate you. can we get a clue as to what year that was?
That's got to be 08, 07.
Looking at the lineup, yeah, I'd go with that. So we'll start with Katie.
Randy Orton.
Yep.
I was about to say, if you don't start with that one, that was the easiest.
Rey Mysterio.
Nope, you lose a life.
Oh, shit.
So, Katie?
Jeff Hardy?
No. This could be done very quickly on to the next one.
Of all the things that the drug related, that was the one thing that Jeff did not get suspended for.
DRG?
Test?
No. Katie?
Trying to think. Joey Mercury?
Nope. DRG?
Trying to think of who all was druggies back in those days. Umaga?
Nope. So if Katie gets this wrong, we'll move on to another question to decide.
Should have done that from the beginning.
I want to go over some of these names because I think I can name a couple.
We'll open it up to you if Katie can't get it.
Carlito.
No. So we'll do another question, but go on, Heavy. Have a guess at some.
Edge.
Yep.
Chris Masters.
No.
Really? Because that's the thing, too. It's not that they were druggies. A lot of, some of it was steroids.
Ah, yeah, I guess that's true.
There's a really obvious one.
Chris Benoit.
Batista.
Eddie Guerrero.
No. There's a really obvious one. He got sacked for... He still flies his trade today in a...
Oh, Rob Van Dam.
No.
Oh, damn it.
Matt Hardy? No. He came and wrestled after that.
Ken Anderson.
I thought he got sacked for dropping Orton on his head.
Yeah, but he also got strikes of being fucking druggy, didn't he?
I don't know. I guess he did.
Yeah.
He'd
already failed the wellness and stuff. So you've got William Regal on there.
Oh, fuck.
Chavo.
Yeah.
John Morrison. Santino.
No, he said John Morrison.
John Morrison. Sound like Josh Matthews. I was like, what?
What? That doesn't sound anything like Josh Matthews. Santino.
That's why he's in TNA.
Simon D. Shane Helms. And Booker T.
Booker T?
What the hell?
Oh, what the hell?
What the hell?
Right.
Chugga dugga quack quack.
Let's look for another one.
Somebody get the crack back.
Let's finish this. I want to do Who Am I.
Right, so decide the winner, we'll go with another Survivor Series question. In 2009, Team Miz faced Team Morrison in a traditional 5-on-5 match. Name the other 8 men.
You said Team Miz was Team Morrison?
Mm-hmm. So, Katie?
Team Miz, Team Morrison. Kofi Kingston?
No, you dropped a point already, DRJ.
Miz versus Morrison. Evan Bourne.
You're correct. Katie?
CM Punk.
That was hoping because you've just lost another life.
Oh, well.
DRJ?
Sorry, I'm talking to myself.
You always get the right answer that way.
Jack Swagger.
Yes. Looks like DRG's going to get it. Katie, to stay in.
Mid-card.
I'm thinking. MVP?
No.
Oh.
So, DRG, look like you've won, but can you give another one?
Trying to think of what year that was. I can't remember. 2009. Chris Masters.
Nah. You could have had Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, Matt Hardy, Shelton Benjamin, or Finley.
Damn it, I was going to go with Matt Hardy, but I was like, nah, no way.
And how many of them are still with the company? Dolph, Sheamus, Miz.
Swagger.
Yeah, Finley's still in the company, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like a sort of backstage, isn't he? And trainer and that.
I think he's been fired, though, in between that time, though.
He's a producer. Yeah, he came back.
So basically, DRG won the cluster that was Killer.
Come on, Eddie.
But he got the bonus on the Slammiversary, so he got one already.
Oh, okay, nice. He's getting better.
Hey.
I think we should do a CM Punk round if we're going to do one in somebody's favor.
Moving on to the game that Katie wants to play, which is Who Am I?
Did it
I
wrong.
Love that. Wait.
Who am I?
Am I?
Heavy
Who
jogger.
Am I?
There we go, Katie.
Yeah. I don't care.
Right. Miserable. Right. We'll go in reverse order this time. You guys know the rules, don't you?
Yeah. What are the rules?
Basically, you start with a hard clue. If you guess, you out. If you pass it up and go to the next clue, you only get 3 points. Go to the next clue, it's 2. So you go down to 1. So we'll start with Heavy Set. I was born 10th of October, 1946 in Camberwell, North London.
Next.
I was 6'11" tall and died age 54 in November 98.
Next.
Do I get the steal?
If Heavy gets it wrong.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He could be nasty and go all the way down to 1 point. I started a feud with Hulk Hogan in WCW in 96, which ended abruptly due to being diagnosed with cancer.
Next.
So, for 1 point, whilst in WCW, I was known as Loch Ness.
I don't know who it is either, really.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Steel! Dust, DRG, Steel!
You alright with that, Heavy? You giving it up?
Yeah, I have to, because I can't. The name sounds familiar, but I cannot picture anything with it. And dying in 98, too, I can't remember anybody.
Go on, NDRG.
Haystack Calhoun.
Giant Haystack, yep.
Sure.
So, DRG has 1 point. So, moving on to Mr. DRG himself. I was born January 12th, 1962, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Next.
I have bipolar disorder, and I'm a born-again Christian.
Oh, that's a bunch of them.
I was like, right up your alley, DRG.
Devil Vamp. Oh, I mean, my bad.
1962, Atlanta, Georgia, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I've got an idea, but go ahead.
For 2 points, yeah?
Yeah, for 2 points.
WWE once ranked me 14 on their top 25 most impactful women's list.
62. I'm going to say Alundra Blaze, a.k.a. Medusa.
No, incorrect.
Oh.
Has anyone else got a guess for it, or do you want me to go down for 1 point, guys?
Sonny.
No, you're out.
Good.
Katie and Heavy, do you want me to go for 1 point?
Yeah.
The Cauliflower Alley Club honoured me in 2009. Later that year, my house was destroyed by a fire. I was found dead after a drugs overdose in August 2010.
I think I know.
Go on in, Katie, for one point.
Yeah, I'll try. Is it Luna Fashan?
Well done.
Luna. I didn't know she's a born-again Christian.
So, this is really weird. Moving on to Katie now. I was born September 13th, 1981, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Next one.
I was picked up by WWE in 2004, was sent to OVW, followed by Deep South Wrestling for development, then back to OVW when Deep South closed. Whilst there, I had a dark match where I got a win over Serena before I was ultimately released 2 days later.
Can you give her a bigger fucking clue?
I know.
Fucking hell.
Thanks, Dale.
I'm going to guess. Never mind. Go to the next one.
For 2 points, DRG's going to get this. I made my TNA debut at Bound for Glory 2007.
I've had this for a while.
Oh, wait. I think I know. Right. Gail Kim?
No.
No?
Oh.
Nope, that is incorrect. So, opening up for 2 points, I made my TNA debut at Bound for Glory 2007. Does anyone want to guess?
Oh, me.
Me.
DRG first. DRG got it first.
All right, DRG.
Sucks. You said it was Mickey Katie James. Last time it was me, fucker.
Mickey James.
No, going over to Heavy.
I'm taking a wild guess at it then, and I'm probably wrong, but Velvet Sky.
No.
Jesus.
So, do you want me to go for 1 point?
Devil? Yeah, go for 1 point. I don't know who it is. Go for 1 point.
I am a 6-time TNA Knockouts champion.
Oh, come on. That's my fault.
No. No, I thought I knew who it was, and I'm like, no, I don't think it is.
Can I guess, even though I'm out, like, after...
Let Devil mess up first.
Okay.
I have no idea.
DRG for Pride.
Angelina Love.
There we go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what she looks like.
She's like mountain plastic.
like a mountain of plastic.
She's got me blocked on Twitter.
Go on then, Heavy, explain.
Oh, just because a couple of my friends and myself were talking about her, and we said she was anorexic. Not only did she read it, but Crimson read it, and we were blocked by both.
I was going to say, anyone looks anorexic compared to you, but moving on.
Right.
We're going to Devil now. I was born June 22nd, 1963, in Surrey, British Columbia.
Okay, next.
I competed in sumo wrestling in 1985-1986.
Surrey what? Surrey, British Columbia.
Yep.
Next.
For 2 points, I had 2 runs in WWE, each with different persona. I also competed for New Japan Pro Wrestling and WCW.
I'm going to guess. Big Man Vader.
No.
Damn it.
You're out. Anyone want to answer
it? I'm going to take a guess.
For 2 points, yeah?
Yes.
Go for it.
Albert.
No.
Fuck.
66, Heavy.
Can I try it?
Go for it, Kai.
Earthquake?
Yes.
Damn it.
Okay, he gets 2 points.
Oh, fuck! I thought it was him, but then the 2 different personas, I forgot he was Golga.
Yep.
So, Katie's got 3, DRG's got 1, and the other 2 are doing useless. So, that was Devil Vamps. Going back to Heavy, then.
Yeah, bitch.
I was born August 10th, 1964, in Vega, Alta, Puerto Rico.
What year?
1964.
Next.
In my career, I've been billed from Puerto Rico, the Orient, and South Bronx.
Oh, that South Bronx is giggling away.
Next.
I have been managed in WWE by Harvey Wimpleman and Clarence Mason.
Savio Vega.
Well done, Heavy's got 2.
Good job.
Fuck, I would have never got that.
Right, moving on is my catchphrase.
Take a shot.
DRG.
Yeah.
I was born August 22nd, 1987, in Sacramento, California.
No, you weren't. You're English. you said 1984? 87. Oh, shit. Next.
I made my wrestling breakthrough with Dragon Gate USA in 2011.
Evan Bourne.
Nope, you're out.
Damn it!
I think he was already signed by then.
He's going for the big money.
DRG. I was.
Big money.
So, there's one person in this group I expect to get this.
I know it already.
Well, unlucky.
Heavy better know it.
That's the person I thought would get it. So, do you want to go for 3 points, Heavy, or do you want me to go down?
Wait, why is he next?
Well, I'm not. I'm just opening up. Calm it down,
Wayne. Wayne, I want you to go down farther than you actually got.
Does anyone want to guess at the 3 points?
Can I try?
Really, Katie? Go on, then.
Dean Ambrose.
No.
No.
He's out.
What year was it?
Signed by
89.
89.
Or 87, I'm sorry.
87.
Born 87, first break was in 2011, you said?
Mm-hmm. for 2 points.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I want to hear the next clue.
When Heavy. I don't want to get knocked out, but okay, younger than me.
As this one you're stealing, Heavy, you might as well go down one.
Okay.
I was, for 2 points, I was trained by Mr. Hughes, and in 2011, Dragon Gate USA named me the best newcomer of the year.
Seth Rollins.
No.
Nope. Signed by then. Shit. Best newcomer.
Next one will do it for you. Everyone's out by you.
I'm between one of two people. But since the sex of this person has not been named, I'm not going to go with either. Wait a minute. One was around before 2011. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Jessica Havoc.
Oh, me.
You're out, Heavy. So you're all out. So, DRG, who do you think it was?
Luke Harper.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The number one point, if we were going for it, was it's rumored I've recently signed with WWE.
Ooh, Hawk Nation.
I was going with people who were already signed.
Me too. Damn it. Way to go, Wayne.
That's why I didn't think it was him.
I don't even know who that is.
You will. Ooh, Hawk Nation, the thing that I've always explained about him, I've always called Bobby Lashley Black Lesnar.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Hawk Nation is a better Black Lesnar.
Gotcha.
And he can do a standing backflip.
All right, Wayne.
So going to Katie now. So and she's winning currently. 3 Katie, 1 DRG, 2 Heavy. I was born July 12th, 1974 in Smithfield, North Carolina.
Next one.
I got my first big run in WCW where I won hardcore and cruiserweight gold.
WCW had hardcore thing?
Yeah, but it weren't successful.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was a really bad knockoff of WWE's, and their belt was actually professional, and I hated it.
There were a couple matches.
Sorry, all the way. I'm a 2-time WWE tag champ, as well as 1-time WWE cruiserweight, European, and hardcore champion.
Me. Good God. No, the correct answer is not DRG.
Go to last one.
77 would be 40.
I was involved in an infamous motorcycle accident in 2011 with my girlfriend, also on the bike, after which my foot was reconstructed using 4 plates and 22 screws. What's up with that?
Damn it.
Oh, Shane.
Yep, Katie's got 1 point.
Wow!
If you wouldn't have done that, if you would have not said that, it would have been still open ball game.
What's up?
Way to go, Wayne.
I didn't know what's up with that. You said that.
I knew it whenever he said the tag titles.
Wait, who was it?
Shane Helms.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was. I didn't know he got an accident.
Going to Devil. These are one of two that I done, so you should be able to get it.
Oh, good.
Paige. Right.
In fact,
did I get 5 points?
Damn, I didn't think of that. I should have gone Paige. Right, moving on. I was born March 24th, 1965 in Houston,
I know it.
Next one.
I'm a former World WWE Hardcore Tag Team Champion, but I've never won the Intercontinental.
Still know it.
Yeah, you're obviously still going to know it.
Austin, Texas?
No, Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. In what year?
1965.
I'll just guess Undertaker.
Yep.
Yes!
I got it right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, you did.
The only reason I knew it by his birthday is because his birthday is 1 week before mine.
Wow, Heavy's a freak. Yeah, I don't remember Undertaker ever holding the Intercontinental Championship. I do remember him going in almost a year and being up for the championship and winning it.
My other clues were on that. Recently married a former diva in 2010, Michelle McCool. And the number one, which was the easiest one, was debuted at Survivor Series 90.
Yeah.
So... Do you want to do the last one for fun? Basically, Katie won that one. 4, Devil was second with 3, DRG with 1, and Heavy at 2.
I got second! Yeah!
But we'll do for this one for fun.
What the easiest guess of the night? I got second.
So this is open.
This should be the final question, so it's open for everyone.
Yep, this is open for everyone. Yeah, go on then, we'll do that then. This game's not over yet then. This is open to anyone.
It's a horrible. Where's Ant?
That's how some game shows work, though. It's like Final Jeopardy.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. I told him to come up. Never mind. Anyway.
I was born June 30th, 1985, in Marietta, Georgia.
1985. Vamp.
No, you weren't.
No, I'm sad. I know it's not where I was born, you dumbass. Cody Rhodes.
Fuck. Yes.
Yeah, damn.
Thank you. Thank you
very
much.
I just bumped him up to first place.
It did. Vamp beat Katie. Vamp beat Katie. Yeah, I've been drinking.
All right. Technically, since Vamp won, does that mean that round didn't count?
I really want to say it. Don't.
Wait a minute. Does someone remember to hit record?
Oh, I'm recording right now.
I don't believe that. How did you know that then, Bam? Well, he's obviously near, close to your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's close to my neck of the woods. I usually try to pay attention to who. I mean, it's also hard. You said Marietta. You didn't say Atlanta. There's a difference between Marietta and Atlanta.
And he stalks him, too.
No, I don't stalk Cody Rhodes. Not like somebody was CM Punk was on.
You stalk his wife. We get it.
No, I don't. No, she is very good looking, but no. I just happen to know Cody Rhodes, born around that time. He was born in Georgia, Marietta area, Duluth area.
Psycho.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe that.
All y'all got room to talk is all I'd say.
Wow.
Props.
That really shook up Wayne. Listen to him.
I know. He's like, Devil Vamp won. Oh, my God.
Look, man. Even sunshine's in a dog's ass every once in a while, all right?
Wow, you said it.
Wow, we usually go with blind squirrels finding nuts, but whatever you want to talk about, fine, buddy. Hey, dogs and assholes.
I didn't say assholes, I said ass.
Where do you think it goes? Right, moving on.
Yep. Going on to the last segment now. I can't believe that. Right, going on to the last segment. We've got one up and one down from the last week of wrestling. And we shall start with the winner of the quiz. Well, of Who Am I? Devil Vamp.
Who am I? One up so far. I just finished Raw, but I really, really enjoyed last week's NXT. It was fan-fucking-tastic. Oh, my God. It was so good. That's always my one up. I have to do think of something else. One up. Tag Team Tornado, or was it, what they call that? Tag Team
Turmoil.
Tag team gauntlet match, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Tag team turmoil, loved it. Especially even when you guys know how much I'm tired of the Usos, but even when the Usos came out, all the crowd was into it. The New Day, the crowd was into. The Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, tag was pretty good. I enjoyed the whole thing. I enjoyed it. It added a new element to the tag team division that needed a good bump, and we got some new tag teams out of it, which was really neat. I have to say, I really do enjoy that New Day so far. They're not like I want them to be, but they're a little different. There's something different.
Yeah, but Dan had it spot on when they were like, bring them in like this. If they get over, brilliant, but you could swerve them and turn them evil in a few weeks.
I'm sure they're going to do that because some people in the crowd are with them. They definitely should go with that New Day chant. You know, like, New Day? New Day? You know, that.
Like, they're confused.
New Day? New Day? You know, that actually, I heard a lot of people in the crowd saying that, but they kind of didn't go along with that. Xavier was trying to do the beat, and I'm sorry, Xavier, white people can't, they don't have no beat, man. I'm sorry. So. Anyway, I like the New Day, too. So I would say one up tag team division getting a little, adrenaline push to them, need it before WrestleMania. So,
does anyone else want to comment on the Gauntlet match or the New Day faction?
New Day?
Why did they bring them in to have them lose?
I don't know.
Just to start the feud with Goldust.
I was supposed to say, he didn't lose. Like, they didn't lose fair. They did get screwed. So, I mean, I want to call him TJ.
Tyson Kidd and...
Thank you. Tyson Kidd pulled his pants, so... What do you want to call it?
Caught him by the tights.
Yeah, thank you. I need more beer.
And what's your one down then, buddy?
One down? One down is this Divas thing they got going on with the whole... I like the idea that she referenced last week the fact that they were both sleeping with John Cena and Daniel Bryan. I like that AJ referenced that. However, they keep playing it, but she didn't mention it this week. I think she needs to continue mentioning it every single week. And I don't know what's going on with the Bellas. Like, are they family again? Did Brie just let all that go underneath the water and at the bridge? I don't get that. No, I just don't get it. I don't understand their relationship right now. Because you were saying, Wayne, like, on their way back to the locker room after they got beat, like, Nikki's, like, pushing her and fucking yelling at her and shit.
She's done it the whole time.
She's still treating her like crap. Still treating her
like crap, but she's not under any obligation to be treated
Bree's
like
that. Turn and face, and there was a brilliant thing on RBR Wrestling Podcast, listen to it, guys, where
on my fucking channel.
Where they basically pointed out, which is spot on, they've nicked so much from Daniel Bryan for Brie. They've done the yes chant. They've done the AJ kiss. What's the betting they ain't done the dodgy heel turn with Bray Wyatt to turn and then attack Bray Wyatt with this?
Here's the difference. Nobody...
For the Wyatt family has beards.
Well...
I don't know. AJ, Nikki can be a bit bushy, so...
Wow.
All right, then.
All right, moving on. Nobody fucking cares. That's the problem. Everybody's just like, what the fuck is going on? There wasn't like a huge, like, any video vignette like there was with Bray Wyatt. There wasn't any backstage segment. There wasn't anything to lead up to that. It was just, they mentioned the contract being over next Monday, and then that was it. They haven't mentioned anything else about it. Nothing. It's just weird. It's just weird.
And it could be something that plays out too.
That's true. That's true.
You're falling into the instant gratification. Granted,
yeah, you're right.
We could be a year from now. We could be 6 months from now, and we're just like, all right, that didn't mean shit. But this is the time of year where WWE is like, all right, they do something big with Survivor Series, but then they have to go the month of December, and early January with Christmas and all that, and not a lot happens.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a ripoff of Daniel Bryan again.
I feel you, and I mean, it could be a slow play, a slow burn, you know, getting them through the whole month of and having some type of storyline, because the writers and WWE don't know how to write for females, evidently. But I don't even know if it's Daniel Bryan. I really don't know if it's Daniel Bryan, Wayne, but I just want them to be, it's not an instant gratification thing. It just does, like, the commentary and then the little vignettes could have, like, all we got was, like, two little videos from the, am I wrong about this? We got two little videos, three maybe little videos of them, of her backstage treating her like crap. Like, the first, she poured coffee on her. The second time, she, like, yelled at her to go all the way home and get something she forgot.
Like, she ordered. And he had to dress up like Daniel Bryan to do it.
Yeah, and then that was it. Like, that was all.
Yeah.
Like, that's not bad. The shit you were doing before was way worse than what you were doing.
I wish you died in the womb.
Yeah, well, that's cheesy. But the stuff in the ring, the shit she was saying in the ring about what she did when she was younger and all that stuff, that was way worse than calling her a bitch all the time. That was way worse than what she made her do.
How about the pulling of the hair and stuff?
Yeah, that's
when she yanked her off the stool and that was brutal. That's
brother sister. That's sister stuff, man.
No, that's what Tia and Tamara.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you remember their names?
Of course.
Straight, dude.
Oh no, that's twin stuff, man. Trust me, I know. That's no big deal. That is water under the bridge. You know, I could fight with my brother one day and just, you know, act like it never happened the next, you know, next hour or whatever. It's no big deal. But it's just the random. Anyway, I'm rambling.
Yeah, I'm you are.
I'm done.
Right, moving on.
Dude, take a shot.
And you caught yourself, too.
Dude. Oh, you're going to get fucked up tonight, Wayne.
Going over to Heavy, what is your one-up, buddy?
It's perfect transition. I'm happy you picked me. That's a good choice, Wayne.
Buddy.
Anyway, Nikki Bella's promo on SmackDown. The full version that they didn't fully release, but you can read the transcript of.
Saw that, and even John Cena put a tweet out actually stirring the pot a bit, didn't he, saying, I'm proud of my girl, even if it didn't get aired.
Yeah.
It's up there with, like, that would be her version of a pipe bomb.
Really?
In my opinion, because basically, let's look at AJ, and I'll bring this back up. Oh, yeah, let's bring up that Nikki and Brie are sleeping with Daniel Bryan and John Cena. You're sleeping with CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
The pot is calling the kettle black. I don't care. But there hasn't been any venom really spit other than something coming from AJ. And everybody glorifies, oh, AJ's so great. AJ, blah, blah, blah. Then Nikki went on the mic and pretty much said her version. Said, I forget exactly what she said exactly, but just kind of like...
She said something like she does it for like more the attention. She said like she did it for the kids. That's the part that wasn't aired. And then like she said, pathetic little girl, manipulative from New Jersey.
But she never did it for The Rock.
Yeah. So that was my one up.
And what would your one down be?
My one down. God. Come back to me on that one. I got to think about it because I also want to use something that I'm not going to use later on tonight. That I've used on WrestleCast, because this will go after.
So, Katie, what's your one up for the week?
I like where the Wyatt and Ambrose's feud is going, because I love the fact that Dean Ambrose broke his favorite rocking chair on Raw.
I know.
That was like great symbolism.
Shaking, weren't he, afterwards? He was proper moved because of it. He couldn't...
It's like symbolism. That's like his prized possession. He feels like he's in power sitting in there, and I love that Dean Ambrose broke it, and it's getting more interesting to me.
So everyone's leaving him. The Wyatt family, now his chair.
Well, he's already off his rocker.
Yep, the lantern's going to be next. That'll be it. That'll be his character buried once the lantern goes.
Oh, if he breaks the lantern, that'd be cool.
Now his chair.
So, you liked where that's going.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the big angle at the pay-per-view? How can you see that one playing out?
Well, that's the only one that's a TLC match, right? Every other match is either chairs or a table match. So, I think they might steal the show, and it might be match of the night, I think.
Do you think they'll be hanging something above it, or do you reckon that'll be pinfall?
I don't know. What would you hang up there? His lantern? And, like... He gets it and he's the leader, or I don't know.
Oh, that would be awesome. Perhaps we have come up with the next week's Raw storyline.
I don't know what. I think it'll just be like a straight up ass kicking match. Nah. Somebody's going to get hurt, and I'm hoping there'll be blood, even though they're deadly afraid of it. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good.
I think that's going to be the main one. That's why it was announced first. That's the one that's had the build.
They announced it like as another pay-per-view was on, Survivor Series. So my one down, well, I'll agree with Devil Vamp, like the Bella Twins. I don't know where I get it's a slow burn. I still think it might be a triple threat with Brie involved with Nikki and AJ, because like Nikki's still treating her like crap and why is Brie still taking it? But I'm optimistic it might get more better next week, hopefully.
Mo better.
I would guess she's still taking it because it's kind of like her and Nikki have a common enemy in AJ, so they're going to focus on that for right now. And the fact that Divas title's in the mix, and if the Divas title stays there when AJ Lee leaves the company, I think that's when Brie could actually bounce back to being a face.
I was thinking the goal was to get one of the Bellas the title. That was the goal. That was the pact they made, to get one of them the titles, and then they were gonna. Then the title obviously is gonna get in each other's way, and then we're gonna see an actual. What's the percentage on seeing them at WrestleMania 31 against each other? It's really high, right?
I think it's in between that or having just two total divas. For the Divas title at WrestleMania, I think that could be a big thing because
Paige and Nikki.
They will. Yeah, because Paige will be on it by then too.
Yeah,
I think Rumble will be the Bella title match.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think that could be right. I think Brie will somehow get herself inserted into this match at TLC. Perhaps she wins the title, and then the Bella. AJ then either leaves the story or leaves the company, and then that would be the Bellas at Royal Rumble.
What do you guys think of Bill Dempsey real quick? Just real quick.
That is really random, but...
Well, because I was watching NXT.
No, if you mentioned Baron Corbin.
Yeah, he came out during when Baron was going back.
It's your new Triple H.
I did think that was very funny. The fact that they counted to 22, and then when Bull Dempsey went out there and didn't get to 22, the crowd was so deflated.
Barrett's better.
That's right. Oh my God, that was so funny. They were like, 1, 2, 3, and you could just look at Bull. He was just like, these motherfuckers, they know I'm not this bitch in 22 seconds.
Well, at least they're hinting at a story for Baron Corbin.
That's true, yeah. But Bull's a fucking, ugh. He's so fat and just gross, and
he looks like me in a onesie.
Yeah.
No, he's oh my God, he's so fat. Oh, he's so gross. He's just I don't see it, man.
Oh my God, he
looks like Baby Big Show.
He does look like Baby Big Show with the beard. Does look like Baby Big Show.
And
he does. He looks just like he does. He should be mini Big Show, like a mini me Big Show, and go around with Big Show and just copy what he does, like Mizdow does with the Miz.
No.
I don't know how we managed to get onto this. Heavy, have you managed to come up with a one down yet?
I don't care. I don't care.
Baby Big Show.
One down is the fact that we didn't get to see Noelle Foley longer than we did.
When that scene came on, I was watching it with Devil Vamp, and he noticed Mick Foley first. That is the worrying thing.
He looked amazing, bro. I just want to say that. He looked fantastic as Santa.
I noticed Foley first just because that's the guy that they've had play Santa for a while. I mean, they're lucky Alberto Del Rio is no longer with the company, so Santa's not getting run over this year. But it was after that. Like, I'm like, oh, that's full. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Who is that?
I'm like, is that who I think it is? And then he said, like, Noelle. And I'm like, oh, that is. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
No. That was
we
creepy.
Went a whole week without that.
No. I am sorry, Heavy. You know I always have you for Dusty. Devil's caught up with Macho Man impression. That's every week now.
No,
that wasn't my Macho Man impression. That wasn't my Macho Man impression.
Yes, what? It was. Don't you lie.
It wasn't. I swear it wasn't. I was just being creepy.
Macho when he was in the room with Stephanie, but I'm going to disguise it because it's Mick Foley so people won't know that it's Macho Man.
Ooh. I was just being creepy, guy. Man, my Macho Man's totally different. Come on, you guys.
No. Anyways, can I say this one thing? There's a disorder for people who try to emulate and be like somebody to the point that they're in a psychosis. I honestly think that that's what Mick Foley has done with Santa Claus. There's something perturbed about his childhood and that Santa Claus thing that he is trying to transform himself into Saint Nick.
You should watch the documentary.
Oh, it was so creepy.
No, DRG, do you reckon Mick Foley will join James Storm's revolution?
He needs to definitely have an awakening.
DRG, there's an actual documentary they did about four different Santas. I was listening to it on Kevin Smith's podcast this week, and Mick Foley was on there being interviewed with his director, because Mick's one of the Santa Clauses, and then they have three more, like a really basic guy, and then two other guys. And it's from the way they put up the documentary, it sounded really interesting. It's going to be on Netflix, so anybody can watch it. I think it's called
I Am Santa Claus.
The Four Faces of Christmas? It started by me having this assumption because Mick Foley legitimately creeped me out on that segment because he has gone to the nth degree with the Santa Claus thing. That there is a legit medical term for people who try to emulate other figures in world because of that. They're so obsessed with it that they turn themselves into it. That's what started this whole thing.
You generally think right, his obsession with Christmas is a mental disorder.
Unhealthy.
Perhaps he's just a happy guy. Anyway, DRG, what's your one up for the week?
Telling Mick Foley.
Yeah, evidently not Mick Foley.
Or Kevin Smith.
DRG the Grinch is what we should call him from now on.
Oh, dude, no. Around my house, I am the Grinch.
Oh, yeah, you should be.
You two are in a tie for that one.
I'm not. I do get a little grinchy because I don't get to celebrate Christmas like I used to.
You're more Scrooge.
I'm not a fan of commercialized holidays.
It's still real to devil, damn it.
Anyway, my one up, I've got twofold. First, for myself, I won a Twitter contest to where I received a copy of ICW's Best of AJ Styles Volume 2. Which I've got it downloaded, but I have not gotten to watch it yet. But from a wrestling as a whole, Lucha Underground and Kata, I hope you are listening because Conan actually did really well in his talking segment this week to the point that I did not think he was a completely shit actor. I was very happy with the product that they put on this week. And I honestly think that one of the reasons why NXT and Lucha Underground is so refreshing to me is because they're only 1 hour of programming. Like, literally, you only take 45 minutes to an hour out of your day to watch that show, and it doesn't seem like a full-out commitment. Like, oh, my God, I got to set up this amount of time to watch this whole thing. That's half the reason why Raw pisses me off, because I don't want to see big show segments. Eric Rowan, as a genius, even though he was brainwashed by a cult leader, doesn't make sense to me. But if you give me an hour's worth of good, compacted content, I can live with it. And that Johnny Mundo spot where he jumped off of the freaking thing into the ring was sick. That's the kind of parkour elements that they need to add to Morrison's character that just makes him awesome.
There is so much hype about Lucha Underground at the moment. Is anyone else in here, Senna?
Nope.
I haven't had time, honestly.
I keep meaning to watch it, and that's now going to be 6 episodes. I really need to pull my finger out and start watching it. So you really recommend watching it, MDRG?
I do recommend because it's real easy to get through. You can binge watch 3 episodes and still be done faster than what it'd take to watch Raw. It's just a refreshing take on wrestling with the cinematic aspects to it, but with quality, well-paced wrestling. Yeah, there's some faults in there, but it's different from what you see and feel on a regular Monday or Wednesday.
Right. So coming from me then, who's a bit of a NXT mark, which one is the better product at the moment then, NXT or Lucha Underground? Which one would you rather watch in a week?
Different, Wayne. They're not. You can't compare those two.
Oh, I'm going with the 1 hour format, so because everyone's going on about like the longer format of Raw. Obviously, the new hot products is NXT and Lucha. I'm just saying which one is the one that DRG would go for.
It really depends on if you're into the story aspect, if you're into the wrestling aspect. Both shows meld them very well. But I think Lucha does better on the in-ring, whereas NXT does better on the story.
Really? But the way you thought you were going to be heading when you started that was going to be the other way around. But
I think they're even from what I listened to you guys last week and then what I know about NXT. Sounded like they were more even than anything else. Sounded like they're really close, but to me, NXT is a training ground. Whether we like it or not, they're going to make mistakes in the ring. The storylines aren't going to be that congruent because they're going to be moving people around all the time. But Lucha's
what I'm going with is that Lucha Underground has a heel authority figure in play. It's something that we've seen so many times over and over again that NXT stories don't come across that way. They come across more as the competition. They have their own drives and their own motivations for it. Like Bayley in her quest against Sasha Banks is a personal goal, a personal achievement, whereas Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma, their battle is against a higher power that's pulling strings. So that's why I think NXT stories are a bit more refreshing, because they're more individualized, like with Baby Ziggler versus Louis this week. It's, oh, you're an Uggo, I'm not going to be in the ring with you. Well, now it kicks off a whole little story that's just between them. It seems like with Lucha Underground, everything's being derived from this head heel of sending people to attack all the good guys.
Just want to address what Devil just said about NXT as a training ground shouldn't be looked at so much as a program compared to Lucha, because that's like a proper product, that's like a final product. Yes, but what evens it out is NXT has got a hell of a lot more budget and more power behind it being a WWE product than what Lucha Underground has been with just El Rey. So I do find them comparable in that way, but I see what you mean.
I get what you're going with, but if they would have taken like Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns and moved them from there up into the WWE roster as just those characters, perhaps. But the only real character that moved from NXT up into WWE was what, Bo Dallas? Because Paige didn't come in as a full anti-diva. She came in as the new rookie, fresh talent. Like, they're isolated in the way that the stories are told in NXT versus when they get to Raw or SmackDown.
Bray weren't far off his current, was he?
No, he wasn't. Rusev, too. Rusev moved in as he was already.
If that's the case,
they polished up Rusev a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a little bit. I mean, the last 2 weeks, I believe, I saw actually of Rusev, he had Lana with him. And then I don't think she even said anything. I think she just stood on the stage.
Yeah, he was squashing and stuff. And
yeah, Bo is almost exactly the same.
It's just Bo's character worked better in a smaller arena because he can interact with single chants and stuff.
Paige was never going to be the anti-diva because that's what AJ is.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the NXT format for where it's at, because you don't see the stuff that you see on Raw bleed into NXT unless they have a special and bring somebody down there. Like Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd both went there to reinvent themselves and came back with different characters because of it.
Yeah, I also like the fact that it's still kind of like our little niche, you know? It's still kind of like that little thing on the side that nobody really knows about, that little underground thing that nobody really watches or whatever. Only certain people watch, and you know the chants, and you know the crowd, and you know. I kind of did, like, when we see him on Raw, it wasn't a big deal for us, but for the Raw crowd, it was a huge deal because nobody knew what the hell they were or who the hell they were or what they could do. And we were just rooting for them. So, I don't know. Yeah. I think that aspect of it, too.
You won't see the Yah come up to Raw whenever the Ascension moves up.
No. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Hopefully you won't see the Ascension move up.
I don't think they're gonna.
I think they'd have gone up now. It seems weird. It's all getting ready for them to go, and then it's sort of frozen in it, and they've been held back to sort of job out to Baylor and
Baylor.
Itami. That's the one. To Evolution.
I think right now those NXT and Lucha Underground, TNA is on their little sabbatical, which I am excited for this best of 2014 and best of TNA. There's a match listing and content listing that they came out with, and it looks to be good. So I'm excited for that. But with everything that's going on in the wrestling world, the two things that I'm most excited about are Lucha Underground and NXT, because they consistently deliver really good, interesting products.
NXT.
And
God, every fucking week NXT is just fantastic.
Even bad NXTs are still good episodes. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's
Kevin Owens.
There's a Oh yeah, can't wait for that. That vignette of his was just awesome. They did so good with it.
Which one? They're both awesome.
They're both awesome.
I haven't seen the second one yet. I saw the one with him doing the package neck breaker or whatever. And
it's the second one.
That's the second one. Okay, that's the one that I saw.
The first one's almost like a teaser, not the way I thought they were going to go forward. Not so much about him.
Yeah, it opens his eyes, talks a little bit.
Yeah, the second one they show a lot more, so it's like, okay, they're gonna be doing more about this. Like, so that's gonna be my top of the year.
That's this week, right?
Next week. I believe.
Our
Evolution is not this week. Week after.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's gonna debut. Well, thank you.
You're not even reading.
I'm so tired.
So what's your one down then, DRG?
There's a lot to choose from.
Mick Foley can't be one of them.
No, yeah, Mick Foley's not it.
Well, is standing next to him.
I'm going to have to say Fandango. I know you love him, Vamp. I just cannot get into the dancing. Yes, they've added more of the Johnny Curtis type mean demeanor about it. But I want to hear him on the mic talking. I want to hear him being the Johnny Curtis that I know he can be. And the longer he sticks with this, the less likely he's ever going to be able to surpass this horrible gimmick. I think it's absolutely horrible.
I think if I had seen him as Johnny Curtis, I probably would be in the same boat you are.
Yeah,
I probably would have, because I don't see, like, I say, like, I'm a big Fandango mark, but I'm really not. I'm probably a Johnny Curtis mark, and I don't know it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, because I never saw NXT back then, but I was a...
Go to YouTube, type in Johnny Curtis, Derek Bateman, France.
Yes!
So
that is even where Derek Bateman, Michael Hutter, EC3, that's where he really shined before going to TNA. So it's like there's a lot right there. And Francine was probably the future of the business, and probably would have been twice as popular as Paige and AJ combined, but she decided to leave.
So like it's the same thing. Like I see the in ring from him. And just seeing the viciousness and not even this, like even before when I was seeing Fandango go at it and in the ring and seeing what he can do and the leg drops that he does. It's just, I'm just thoroughly impressed of what he can do in the ring. And I saw that and that's what made me a fan, and he's funny on the mic. I mean, he took that character. He made it what he could, you know, he can go as far and they're trying to evolve it now. I think they're going the way of the Johnny Curtis or whatever. They're trying to do with it. They're trying to evolve them now. So
I'll tell you what, the way that they could do it is whenever Rosa Mendez gets on his shoulder, you know, drops heads down. If he drops her and just walks over to the mic and grabs the microphone and starts speaking, that right there could wipe away everything and give him something to move forward.
It's true. It's true. It could be like, forget this shit. I'm done with this.
Exactly. Bitch. It's like, I'm going to be me. I don't care what y'all say. I'm just going to be me.
Yeah,
but that story that Heavy's talking about with Bateman, and that was when it started getting really, really good, and I was so upset that they got rid of Derek Bateman at that point, because I was like, why? He is shining in what you're giving him. Why are you letting him go? I don't get it.
I've always said one thing about WWE is, like, granted, they could have players that are really good, but are they going to fill the needs that they have? I've often looked at the WWE roster similar to any sports roster, where, all right, we'll use football. All right, you're a great quarterback, but we're all filled up in quarterback. Can you be a wide receiver? Can you be a running back? Can you be a linebacker? Can you fill in where we need you? And yeah, I think with WWE, that just they didn't need the type of player he is.
I agree. I don't think.
Well, that's why I support so many alternatives, is because there's a lot of talent that WWE can't keep rostered at every given moment. So they get a chance to go to a TNA or to a Lucha Underground, or hell, they go to New Japan and completely reinvent themselves. Freaking Albert, Giant Bernard in NWGP, or in, damn it, Kat is going to be pissed at me. New Japan Pro Wrestling was amazing. When him and Machine Gun Anderson were tag teaming, they were great. But WWE doesn't need that big monster on their roster. They need something completely different. That doesn't mean that he's less talented. It just means that that place cannot showcase the best parts about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing I feel a lot about the primetime players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was never really a place for the primetime players, but they're still – I like Titus. I love Titus on NXT. Titus on NXT is awesome. But Titus
on go that far.
I do like
he
him.
He was better, but he weren't awesome.
I like him. I like him on NXT. I was a huge fan of him, especially him and Sami Zayn put on a great match. NXT got to show what he can do, and then on Raw he just gets lost. He just gets he's not.
But they use him like a twat on Raw. That's the problem.
It doesn't even matter how they use him. It's a matter how you go. It's a matter how you use the time.
All right, and let me ask you this.
Reason if I don't you, know what it is.
If you could take one or two people, either a tag team or a singles, off of WWE and put them into TNA or Lucha or somewhere else, what two talents do you think would be better elevated by being in a different company?
That's a good one.
I think with Lucha, they're going to end up getting the two that they want.
Rey and Alberto?
Yeah. I think those are great examples of guys that, I mean, granted, Rey Mysterio was big, but it was at a certain point, WWE was just keeping him there for branding. He had no importance.
Yeah.
And Alberto, he peaked. He just wasn't meshing well. He slaps people on, I don't know, it's long story.
I've got one that's slightly different. Person I think would thrive away from WWE is Bray Wyatt.
Really?
Because I think there'd be less restriction on his character, and you could actually open up to what people want to see.
Good point. Very good point.
That's a thing, too. I mean, granted, there's a lot of characters that would do great if they got to open up, but it's more or less, I'm looking at of what does good for the product in that said company. You know what I mean?
I'll say I think Sami Zayn will do better at NXT, TNA than he would at WWE.
Do you think that his size alone is going to restrict him once he moves to the main roster?
No, it's not his size, and maybe I just haven't seen the right character from him yet, but I think right now, as far as the character right now, I think he would do better because we've said it multiple times. If he takes that character to Raw, he'll never make it. He'll never make it. That's why he's the bunny.
He'll be Evan Bourne 2.0.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Evan Bourne, yeah.
I don't know, because look at Daniel Bryan. Same could have been said about him.
That's but very
all
true.
You have to do, all you have to do is find the right elements. And Sami Zayn, El Generico, is a guy that I think he's good, because it was always a question whenever he was El Generico of like, okay, he was behind a mask. He didn't say much. You know, was that a crutch?
Wait, hold on. Are you breaking the fourth wall? Is Sami Zayn El Generico?
WWE has already broken the fourth wall. with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, whatever you want to say. Because they already talked about, like, all right, if you could pick the Dream Survivor Series team, Sami Zayn picked Kevin Steen, and he actually said why. So they completely fucked that up. But it was fun while it lasted.
I think
Heavy's trying to say is basically, Sami Zayn, all he needs is on Raw to have a couple matches like he did with Cesaro on NXT, and the crowd would instantly start pushing
that's
for him.
But that's what I've been saying for months. I mean, I understand that. And I mean, that's all I want is for him to come on Raw and have a match with Cesaro. But they can't even push Cesaro, right? Like, how the fuck are they going to push
Cesaro? Yeah, here's the difference. Cesaro doesn't have charisma.
That's true. That's true. That's true. You're right.
Cesaro has in-ring ability.
Sami Zayn has in-ring ability.
The only thing that Cesaro has going for him is his in-ring ability.
And Vince doesn't club ability as sports entertainment. He basically said as much on that podcast.
Yeah. But the thing that I'm trying to make a point about El Generico is he was able to play this character so well that he had everybody believing that it was kind of a crutch for him. And then he breaks out from the mask, signs the WWE, and you just look back and go, holy shit, this guy's been hiding behind the mask this whole time. And the whole thing, too.
And he's been humping Adam Rose?
Yeah.
And he's been humping Adam Rose.
Yep. That's him in the bunny suit. I know it's fucking him in the bunny suit.
Well,
come up with a fantastic point, didn't you, Evie, about Sami Zayn being able to play behind a mask?
Yeah.
So,
well, Sami Zayn is
emoting.
Sami Zayn is definitely the one behind the mask, but when they take it off,
it was
the question: Will he still be the guy behind the mask? Because they've done that millions of times. Let's look at Los Matadors. No, not Los Matadors. The tag team that was just. No. I'm coming up with all the wrong Mexican names right now because I almost said Los Boricuas. Los Conquistadors.
Oh, Los Conquistadors.
Los Conquistadors. Mm-hmm. It was, at times it was Edge and Christian. Other times it was Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there might have been a third team in there too. I don't know. But they mixed it up.
Yeah, what was that Owen character, that one that Owen played?
Blue Blazer. I think that was the same thing too. I think he was Blue Blazer for most of it, but I think Jeff Jarrett was Blue Blazer for a couple times when they had to have Owen and Blue Blazer face to face.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Moving on.
Right, moving on.
I was going to say, I think we'll leave that there for this week's episode. Thank you all very much for listening. If you want to send us an email for next week, and I promise next week we will read them out, it is secondshiftpod@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @secondshiftpod. You can follow me @WaynesAbaker. Where can we find you, Heavy?
You can find me at, NFL Easy Picks. I'm going to throw that one out there.
You were trying to think of something clever and you really failed there, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, I was going to go, you can find me at DSJMP.com and all that kind of stuff, but.
All those good places. And DRG, where can we find you?
You can find Marvel. Me at. Yeah. I actually had to pause it so I could have a conversation. You can find me at MRDRG_WIR, and I just want to say, everybody that was expecting a European podcast, I do apologize. I wasn't trying to derail this thing, but it was still a good conversation.
And Katie, you've been quiet the last few minutes. Where can we find you?
Few minutes?
I love listening to you guys. Anyway.
That's so much sincerity.
Follow me at Katie First Lady, and I will be brushing up on more wrestling trivia so I can win again and try again.
Now when the topic's TNA.
Oh!
Why do I picture Katie with the WWE Encyclopedia Volume 1 and 2 open with Goldberg's music playing in the background?
Very close.
Yeah, it's Edge's theme song, damn it.
Yeah. Gangrel.
Oh,
this day!
And Devil Vamp, where can we find you?
You can find me on the top of the AWWIR community, because this time next week, I will be champion. And if you want to help me be champion, #WIRXDV, bitches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right on top. Oh, yeah. But it's not Macho Man. Oh, yeah.
Right on top of Stephanie. Oh, yeah.
Now, how is that any different from the voice you said earlier?
He sounded more perverted before.
Noel.
Right.
Noel.
Yeah, and the difference in those voices are the difference between my Stone Cold and John Laurinaitis.
Now, to finish this podcast outright, I'd like for every real American to stand up. Put your hand over your heart. And in a loud, clear voice to say,
thanks for listening,
people.